All right, we're going to go ahead and call this meeting in order. If others hop on, great. So we'll do some roll call.
Chairperson Simon.
Here.
Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Clancy is absent. Commissioner McLean is absent. Roberts is absent. Commissioner Veazey.
Here.
You have a quorum.
All right, excellent.
No one else in the room with us, and we do not have anyone signed up for public comment.
You guys remember when people used to have comments? We luckily we're bringing up a topic today that might bring some. So just in case you were all getting bored, don't worry, we'll step it up here. Be more involved. Adoption of meeting minutes. Is there any changes, Susan?
And item number 6 says other business. It says the village is in a good position to obtain silver designation, but it doesn't talk about Soul Smart. And I just thought somebody reading through that does, you know, we understand that, but just throw in there some reference that we're talking about Soul Smart and maybe even if we're going from bronze to silver.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Be more specific about what we're talking about. Yeah, you know what? They're right on the edge of the table over there.
Sorry, are you done with that? Yeah, I have a really minor thing under, I think it's item number 4. Maybe the 5th paragraph, Sarah's description of community solar. It says MMC, I think it's MC squared. And then the description about current energized projects. That's like, I don't know, that's a little cryptic to me. I might just say, get rid of the word energized to current projects and that another project is anticipated to come online. I mean, it's not a big deal at all. You can leave it if you want, but I was a little confused by that terminology.
A good clarification.
Otherwise, looks great as usual. Thank you, Sarah.
Anybody else? Yes, we need a motion to approve the minutes as we just amended.
Motion to approve.
You have a second?
Second.
Motion, Beth seconds.
Okay. Chairperson Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
And Commissioner Veazey.
Yes.
Excellent. Ripping through here. So let's hit commissioner reports and why don't we actually flip this around a little bit, and we'll start with Ellie. Do you have anything to start out?
Sure.
I can't hear. Can you guys?
Ellie, I just want to suggest if you turn off your video, we might be able to hear better.
About the National Wildlife Federation situation and pretty well.
Ellie, you still there? No, we can't hear you. It was like very faded and then it went away.
Why don't you go on to someone else and then come back to her?
Yeah, it's a good idea. So, hey, Ellie, we'll just swing back to you at the end. Gotta put that in case. She... All right, Charlotte? It is now, yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't have any big updates or anything. I know last time I was talking about the OPRF plan for climate policy, but my first meeting with them is tomorrow, actually. So no updates yet, but there will be next month, and I'll be meeting with them monthly. So that's exciting. Also, last month, just after our meeting, actually someone from the Oak Park Sustainability Commission spoke at Enviro Club, Mindy Agnew, and I just took some notes on just something she said, because she was actually there to talk about Oak Park's solar plan. So I thought that was very relevant. And I asked her about like what Oak Park did to spread the word. And she said most of the stuff I think we've done, but just like reaching out as much as possible. She also mentioned like they made a video, reaching out to community groups, the Interfaith Green Network, and snail mail, which I know we already did the snail mail. Also, she talked about her website, and she said it was on, they used Wix. I don't know what we use for our website, but I thought that was interesting.
She's the, you know, the leader of all that, so she is super knowledgeable on all that. The Wix is what we had a conversation last meeting about. We didn't know it was called Wix, but good info. Thank you. And actually, we'll talk about the video thing when we get to Community Solar, because there's some really good videos that I feel like we can post to our website that would explain to people, you know, better than we can in words. All right, great. I'm just going to go in order of who's on my screen here. Beth?
I don't have any reports.
Okay, thanks, Beth. Jeff?
I also don't have anything to report.
Thanks, Jeff. Susan?
Okay, I got a couple things. Planet Green met on January 21st. Mark Berger gave a source for counts of electric vehicles, which Sarah included, I believe, in the packet. And the source is, it's IllinoisSecretaryofState.gov, so ILSOS.gov. And if anybody wants to look at it, it presents the county information first, and then if you scroll down below that, it has the has it by zip code. So like for Oak Park, you have to grab all four zip codes. So I went ahead and put together quarterly data for River Forest and for Oak Park as well, because it wasn't that much more work. And just to crunch the numbers a little bit, over the last 3 years, electric vehicles have been growing at about 26% per year. So for people who know how to divide into 72, to every 2.8 years at this rate, we would double the number of electric vehicles in River Forest, unless that picks up. Let's see, from Oak Park, they reported that there are 4 new geothermal installations in Oak Park, which is already several there. So it's getting up to a significant number of geothermal. I only know of one in River Forest, but there might be more. Excuse me?
There's two brothers' old house.
What?
Was somebody else saying something? Lisa, were you?
Well, I was going to say that you're talking geothermal for heating. I know of 3.
In River Forest? Good.
Yes, Bob Lennon's house, Sandy White's house, and then I heard you state, Eric, that's two brothers' house. So I think there are quite a few.
Actually, one more than Corinna. I forgot her last name. Corinna Lean? Yeah, so that's good. That's 4.
That's cool. So there's at least 4 that we know about. 4.
There might be more, because they also talked about the single-use plastic ordinance that we're going to talk about later on, that Chicago had done it, and both Oak Park and River Forest are taking that up. Kathy Adusi was present at the meeting, and her quote was, "I don't think it's going to be a hard sell." So I hope that's true. The Park District of Oak Park announced that they have sustainable Saturdays at the Austin Garden Environmental Centers. It's from 10, the topic is discussed from 10 to 12, and if anybody wants to bring kids along, there's like a craft for kids. And this, so it's second Saturday of the month, and this Saturday it's on habitat restoration. Yeah, so that's kind of what went on at Planet Green. Also, I'd been talking to Beth about pursuing a little bit the marketing company that Oak Park used, and it's Aleron Communications, so Beth and I will be looking into that. There was reference to a marketing campaign of $35,000, but it doesn't say specifically that that all went to them, so we can dig a little bit deeper, but they do have deep pockets. I sat in, I listened in on Shannon's meeting with Mike Iverson from UIC Department of Urban Planning, and they were swapping some metric methods, I guess. And then I think Ellie was trying to talk about this, but Corey Cadillac, David Hoyt, Ellie, and I met to discuss community wildlife habitat, and Ellie's going to be reaching out to residents who received Parkway for Pollinator Gardens and see if she can interest them in doing a little bit more to become certified as wildlife habitat in pursuit of our community wildlife habitat designation. Ellie, please add if you have anything else to add.
That's great. That's a lot. Thanks, Susan. All right. Perfect. Trustee Gillis, any?
Yeah, I just have two things. And it's just like an FYI, is that in our last meeting, we went through, like, as the board went through the budget for next year. And by the end of fiscal year 23, which is April 30th, 2023, all of our alleys will be upgraded, including permeable pavers in their centers to help with, you know, kind of water mitigation, which I think is great. The second thing is Katie Brennan brought this up, January 1st, 2023, which is a year from now, 11 months from now, all single and multifamily homes that have removable batteries for their smoke detectors must replace them with new smoke detectors featuring a 10-year sealed battery, which then poses a challenge with regard to the recycling of the old smoke detectors. So the new fire chief is working on a plan for how to collect those items so that they can be recycled properly. There are companies that can help with us. It is with a cost of some kind, so we'd have to figure out a way to offset that with a grant. Sarah, I don't know if the new fire chief has reached out to you, but that's something that he's taking on and is well aware of the need to make sure that disposal is in keeping with the mission of the Sustainability Commission.
Lisa, I'm sorry, can you repeat what the source of that requirement is? Are you saying that's a village requirement?
It's a state requirement.
A state requirement.
Here, I actually have it. It's passed in state of Illinois. In 2017, Public Act 200 was passed to update the Illinois Smoke Detector Act to reflect advances in technology. Coming January 1st, 2023, single and multifamily homes that are still using smoke alarms with removable batteries are required to install new alarms that feature a 10-year sealed battery.
Huh. All right. There's probably going to be a lot of advanced publicity about that.
Yeah, basically if you just do, I just did a search of State of Illinois smoke detector upgrade and it comes up. But again, we have 11 months, but as of January 1st, 2023, it is a requirement. So the good news is we're getting ahead of it, with an eye toward trying to figure out a way to make it easy for residents because quite frankly, ease is important to our residents. But I think we can make it easy and at the same time, make it good for the environment.
Lisa, do you need us to follow up with anybody? Do you want us to take any action on this?
Basically, Brian Murphy, the new village administrator, passed it on to the new fire chief, who will be reaching out to Sarah if he hasn't already done so. So Sarah, you might, based on how that conversation goes, you can follow up with him and see if he needs support.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Lisa. Sarah?
Yeah, just two things kind of briefly here. So SoulSmart did not accept the village's zoning designation letter, so we will be discussing that internally and with SoulSmart to see how we can modify it to resubmit it for consideration. And then the other item is we do have two complimentary tickets for the One Earth Film Festival launch party on March 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Packing House Museum in Chicago. So if anybody is interested in attending, I do need to know by Friday. So just send me an email.
Sarah, is the village, sponsoring a film this year as we have in the past?
Yes, so we'll sponsor the Plastic Bag Store film.
Oh, good.
So the tickets are those tickets actually come to us because of our sponsor. Is anybody on? We've had commissioners before that are like on the Film Fest board or whatever it is. Is anybody involved? So like I'm used to getting updates from usually somebody who's involved. So I mean, that's coming up like March 3rd or 4th through 7th or.
Yes, I think it starts on the 4th because that's when the launch party is. But we can add that.
Yeah, that'd be great. And, you know, I'll dig up the links and just send them out to everybody too. Cause you know, every year there's an awesome line. It's well worth the effort to go check it out.
On March 4th, Dominican is hosting a film as they do every year. So if people are looking for a very local option, it's on March 4th.
Right, an option you can walk to. Do it. All right, did I miss anybody?
I won't be able to make the launch party, but I will just note as a total side note that the launch party in March of 2020 was the last public event I went to before everything shut down.
Thank you. So you might not want to go to this one, Beth, because the old PTSD from 2 years ago.
Could I read what Ellie wrote in the chat? It says, so this is Ellie speaking. I did a presentation about Veg Out to the Veggie Club at OPRF, and they're interested in participating, and I'm trying to advocate for community solar to some families I know. And then she noted that I talked about the community wildlife habitat. Are we going to talk about community solar at any time in this meeting?
Yes, that is on the agenda. Excellent. All right. Let's talk about single-use plastic, and then we're going to do a little bit of shuffling and move communications up after that. But Sarah, do you want to kick us off on this?
So hopefully everyone had an opportunity to read through the single-use plastic ordinance memo, but I will go ahead and review it briefly for you. So to recap, the ordinance would require places for eating to only hand out single-use plastics for takeout and delivery orders at the customer's request, meaning they would opt in to receive them. And as it was noted earlier, this is something that was brought forward by some of the elected officials, and the supporting these types of ordinances has been a topic at Planet Green meeting. So the City of Chicago recently adopted a similar ordinance, which is included in your packet materials. And the village can do what Chicago has done. So tonight, I'm just looking for some feedback on this in the commission's recommendations. And then I will share your feedback with the village attorney, who will then draft an ordinance, and we will kind of go from there.
Well, I'm certainly in favor of not always receiving these useless things that I don't need because I forgot to tell them not to give them to me. But I am a little curious about the origins of the idea that had to be handled through an ordinance and how many establishments actually will be affected by this in River Forest. I mean, we have a limited number of restaurants here, right? So, I mean, I'm fine with the concept. I'm just curious where the idea of making an actual ordinance came from.
Well, I guess it came from Chicago because they did it. And so now the.
Well, I mean, it came from the trustees, right? I mean.
Yeah, and I think that it's something, you know, something that the Planet Green is trying to get support behind as well. And there are just certain things that if we are requiring businesses to do something, it has to be codified in the village code.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it will save them money. If people have to opt in, they are going to be distributing less materials. And most people are eating in their homes and don't necessarily need utensils. So in the long run, obviously, don't we have to do some sort of kind of forum so that they can provide a point of view?
Well, yeah, I was going to bring that up, which David Pope, who's the former village manager of Oak Park, brought up, you know, an excellent point that in order to get buy-in from the restaurants, which, you know, as Lisa said, it's not too hard to sell, it would just be nice to include them earlier in the process rather than later. So, you know, maybe we could draft something and have it. Is there any way to reach out to the area restaurants? I don't know how difficult. I mean, I know that we could do it through the Chamber of Commerce, but is there another more direct way to reach out to the River Forest? Yes.
So the idea, part of the timeline is going to be, I want to make sure that the commission is comfortable with a draft ordinance before we start directly contacting the businesses that would be affected, so that we're not just kind of modifying it as we go along. So once we have sort of like a final draft ordinance, then staff will reach out directly to the restaurant. So we'll send them letters and we'll contact them via email and make sure that we can do everything to encourage people to either attend the meeting or just share their feedback about the proposed ordinance.
And there'll be a community piece too. So I think the order of things, and Sarah, just correct me when I get off track here, is, and some of this is repeating what Sarah said, is that we're going to provide input on the ordinance. Legal is going to draft the ordinance, the village attorney. The draft will then be socialized, both via our meeting, because our meeting, this will be on the agenda next month, or it's the following one.
I'm hopeful that we can have a draft ordinance to discuss just amongst the commissioners at the March 8th meeting.
So at the March 8th meeting, we would discuss it amongst ourselves. And then on the April meeting, that would be open, you know, for community input, knowing that at that point it's already been, but we've already gotten, you know, staff's already gotten the feedback from local restaurants, or, you know, obviously the commission weighed in very early in that process.
Yeah.
And that would be kind of the, sorry, go ahead.
Right. The reality is that, you know, anybody could attend the next meeting as well to provide their input if they want to. You know, we certainly have that opportunity for public comment. But we will be directly inviting people to attend once we have the final draft ordinance and we know what date the meeting will be. We'll give them a certain time period between the letter notice going out, I should say, and the date of the meeting.
And then is this something the trustees then?
Yeah.
So so that's April. So come, you know, probably May, then the trustees would vote on codifying that.
And then every step of the way, we will make sure to communicate that this is something that's up for consideration that may affect businesses too.
And I would just add that Oak Park is going through the same process concurrently. So I don't know if it makes sense, just given the proximity, at some point to compare the two. And you know, of course, our trustees are free to vote on whatever they want, but pass whatever they want. But I just think it would be interesting to loop it in and compare, and since some of the restaurants would be literally across the street from each other.
Yeah, I think that that's a good idea, and I don't want to prolong the discussion. I'll reiterate that I'm strongly in favor of the outcome. I'm fine with supporting it. I do think that for businesses, though, the more you can make it easy for them, you know, if they're complying with similar requirements. And I guess just this back of mind question that I have is, it's obviously an involved process to draft, pass, give notice, you know, vote on ordinance. And in a way, sure, this is hopefully a easy sell and, you know, kind of an easy win. But it just does make me kind of wonder, like, well, is there anything like broader that we're going to want to be having conversations with local businesses about? And we don't want it to seem like, well, I don't know. Somehow it seemed to me like, couldn't we just go and tell people consider this? Like, I ordered from some restaurant in Oak Park and had a choice of, you know, saying I wanted it or not. And just like, would there be something later that we would feel was more significant to have an ordinance for or broader? I mean, I'm not proposing like, you know, more regulation or something, but I'm just sharing kind of a reaction I had, I guess. It's like, it's such a common sense idea, right? Like, how hard is it to talk to some places and say, hey, why don't you switch your system? But I guess a lot of them, if they're part of like a bigger chain or something like that, maybe they need the weight of an ordinance to comply. But I think it's probably important to maintain, you know, kind of goodwill and have it maybe be like the start of communicating with businesses about generally how they can be more sustainable. And I'm not sure we always want to be in a position of having to pass an ordinance to persuade or get them to think about packaging. Like maybe we want them to think about compostable, you know, takeout containers or something like that, right? Like we just generally want to encourage businesses to be thinking sustainably.
We had a meeting with we invited every single retail establishment and restaurant in River Forest to a meeting on July 11th. Charlotte, this was your day. I think you were at the meeting where we talked about, you know, plastic bags and voluntary, you know, kind of elimination of plastic bags. It is easier said than done, particularly I think with the chain. So an ordinance does go a long way. I think this is just my opinion in forcing the chains to do things. You know, we could pick up that dialogue. I mean, they were very excited with that dialogue. There were restaurants that, you know, again, unfortunately, compostable containers cost more money. So they really have a hard time going that route because, you know, particularly during COVID, every like kind of penny counts. But that is something that that dialogue can certainly be picked up because the initial conversation, although it was a small group, was really well received.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe this is a, you know, an easier one to tackle. So I'm not opposed to it. I'm just kind of raising that as a question.
I think it's good feedback, Beth. Everything's an opportunity. And, you know, to be able to, you know, during these conversations with the local restaurants, hand them a one pager that gives them, you know, information and resources on other things they can do to be, you know, to run a more sustainable business. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, we could do that tomorrow if we wanted to. It doesn't even need to be associated with this. It seems like a good excuse to do it. So if anyone didn't get a chance to read over the what was attached, which is the Chicago ordinance, please look it over because at the next meeting, we're going to be, you know, discussing this in detail. But anyone else have feedback based on the Chicago ordinance? Anything you would want to see done differently in River Forest? This is the kind of feedback we need to give to the village attorney between, you know, we need to do that now so that they can draft something before the next meeting.
I think I kind of feel the same as Beth was just saying. I support it. I was just... To clarify, though, it is only like utensils. They like explicitly don't include food service container or like the containers themselves. Is that right? Am I reading that right? Okay,
that's correct. This is
so.
This
I guess
is about
yeah,
as,
maybe.
Yeah.
Think this, like this yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah.
So when Sarah and I talked on the phone, like. About this, and like when I first heard the words single-use plastic ordinance, I'm like, oof, like what's that mean, right? Because it could mean all kinds of things. And when I read the Chicago ordinance, I'm like, okay, this was clearly done with the restaurant community. You know, restaurants are in, you know, is a very difficult business to be in anyway. During the pandemic, it's incredibly difficult. So I think this was very deliberately created to not add additional cost or administrative burden to restaurants. And like Lisa said, in fact, this could save money. And in addition to that, this is already the standard, which Beth was kind of saying too. There's not a single food ordering app, Uber Eats, Grubhub, whatever, that doesn't have opt-in to get utensils and stuff like that. Right? You actually have to click a box that says, please give me you know, forks, knives, and spoons. So, like, you know, that entire medium or that channel for ordering is already doing this, and the restaurants are already complying to that. Well,
so I guess that's why my question is, do we really need an ordinance for this? Because you have to get into all of, like, the wording and the wordsmithing and an attorney, and I don't know.
It's a fair question. Yeah, you know, Lisa, I mean, were you going to say something? I think you're muted.
You're on mute.
Sorry, I was muted, so you wouldn't hear my grandfather clock. I think most of how we govern is through ordinance. So I understand what you're saying, Beth, but I also think it also, I know for a fact that when I pick up stuff, when I pick up food, I have a whole like drawer of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I think that they should switch to saying they're not going to give it out. But I mean, I'm probably just being really naive, right? Like, I feel like, couldn't we just, like, you know, make a press to sort of go to the 10 restaurants that we have in River Forest and say, hey, you know, can you start just saying that you only give this out if people ask for it?
I personally think having an ordinance gives them an out should someone complain that they didn't get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's
protected. And also, if they're complying, it's not going to affect them in any way. I can't see why anybody would object if they're complying. The only reason a person would object is if they're not complying. So if we don't need it, then we haven't harmed anybody. And I don't think we have to really linger over every word on this. Just make something that's reasonable and the lawyer. And I guess my question is if we should extend this to the colleges because they're not mentioned in the Chicago one. Because there's a
like
lot
their
of
food service operation.
Yeah, there's a lot of food service at the college. I don't know how much of it is takeout, but
it's a good question. I don't know how those operate.
But again, if they didn't have any takeout, then it would just be sort of, I don't know. That's just something to note that's not mentioned.
If it was as bad as my school's food, then nobody's taking anything out of there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how COVID has affected all of that. I know there's something called a recipe cafe at Dominican where the nutrition students make lunches, and they do have a takeout option this year. So that's one little takeout thing. But I don't know how general that is to the cafeteries. But anyways, just something to consider as we work through this.
So, and just to back up a little bit to, you know, because I totally understand what Beth is saying, right? It's like you could look at this either way. It's like, well, if everyone's doing it, why pass the ordinance? Or you could say, like, because everyone is doing it, you should pass an ordinance. But, like, this is also why Lisa's on the call. So, you know, your feedback, Beth, like, is, you know, going directly to the trustees who have asked us to take on this. So,
okay, well, that's why I started by saying, where did the request, you know, originate? So I'm going to just stop now because I don't want to belabor it. And I'm, you know, certainly in favor of the outcome.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think your feedback has been heard, which is why we're having this conversation.
Exactly. I mean, it would be great if it was broader, but I don't think it can be. I think this is a good start. And I do like your idea, Eric, of at the same time when you're having, you know, if we're going to have feedback from the retailers, and we should have that, you know, they should have the opportunity to provide feedback. So we are going into this with open eyes. They could come back and give some really, like, some things we haven't thought of that make it a hardship and require, then make us, you know, decide it's not a good thing to do. So that's why the public comment from retailers is important. During that public comment, you know, maybe sharing tips would be, you know, in terms of how to go green would be well received.
And
I know the issue they've got is like purchasing power. If you're, you know, again, I go to LAP and I can't say the name of the Mexican place on Harlem.
Pararia.
She would love to do it, but she can't afford it. Or she couldn't,
The cost thing is really an issue because I'm in part of that business too. And like, it's easy to say like everyone should have compostable. I provide all the food and equipment to airlines. They want to go completely compostable. For one major airline to do that, it's about a $30 million investment. You know, obviously, that's a bigger scale, but there is a huge price difference between compostable forks and, you know, your cheap Cisco plastic fork. So you know, there's, this is a step, and I, you know, that's, and that's good. And maybe that's another reason to do it as an ordinance, is that this kind of, you know, creates a baseline that can, we can then build on over time.
And, you know, and maybe that can be addressed in the wording of the ordinance, that, you know, just, we'll have a statement about how the Village of River Forest would like to, you know, increase this, you know, something that's applicable, and then just say this is a first step, and that just sort of opens the door that there could be more. But instead of drawing this out of a very long period of time, we just do something small and definitive now.
So
I was just going to ask if Charlotte or Ellie have any feedback on this.
I don't have anything specific. I mean, I agree with like what everyone was saying. Like, I agree with what Beth was saying, but we got to be cautious and make sure we're like looking out for the businesses. But I do think if we're like careful with the wording and the ordinance, then we can make sure that it works out.
Thank you. Ellie, anything on your end? You can type it too. So. Okay. Go ahead, Sarah. You were gonna.
Yeah. So just to go back to Susan's comment. There is something in the Chicago ordinance about like self-service stations. And then there are also certain exceptions too. So if the commission is wants to carve out an exception for the schools, you know, we can do that.
Does the Chicago ordinance cover schools?
I don't think it actually says that in here anywhere.
I don't remember seeing that, but if it does, that's
a lot of like takeout that I've been in college for a while, but so if that's something that we want to explore, we can do that.
Any other comments? So as a reminder from here, a draft ordinance is going to be drafted. Sorry about the redundancy. And we're going to look it over for the next meeting. So if you haven't read over the Chicago one, do it. Plus, you'll get a chance to read over our version of it prior, I hope, to next meeting. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, once it's available, I can distribute it.
And that'll be – go ahead, Susan.
Oh, I just wondered who will be drafting that?
Village attorney.
Okay.
Which Sarah is also the village attorney.
Oh.
She's taken over every position in the village.
Well, thank you for having all the background and process laid out.
All right. So, you know, we still have plenty of opportunities for input. So this was just kind of the initial go, and expect to talk about it the next 2 months after this, actually. All right, Beth, why don't we skip to number 8?
Thank you. Okay, so thanks everybody for participating with the kind of communications process here, and it's just helpful each month to kind of check in. So I want to, let's see if I can share my screen just to get you all used to looking at this, the little editorial calendar first. If you didn't read Susan's great write-up on community solar that has already generated a bunch of signups in the monthly February one, that is just went out. And then Carrie has already turned in something for the March monthly Healthy Lawns, Healthy Family. So she's not here, but thanks to her for getting it done so early. And then Susan, a reminder that you and Ellie were going to do the Community Wildlife Habitat monthly write-up for April. That's 250 to 300 words with an image due to Sarah. She gave the exact date. It's somewhere in mid-March. If you need any input from me, then I probably, you know, I need it a few days or a week before you give it to her. I did want to try to confirm some of the things that we talked about for the future months. I have a question mark here. May. Something about OPRF activities and or Roosevelt with Charlotte and Ellie as kind of a question mark there. So Charlotte or Ellie, do you, you know, based on the conversations you've had there, it sounds like there's active things going on. Are you up for doing something for the May monthly write-up? It would be due mid-April. You know, Ellie's audio.
I don't have anything like at the moment. I know that the OPRF Environmental Club is doing some sort of like thrift store type project where they're going to be, I think it's like clothes donations. So maybe I could write something about that. I'm not sure when the event is yet, though.
I'm sorry, what is that again, Charlotte?
I said I might be able to write something about a project the OPRF Environmental Club is doing.
Right, what was that project?
I'm not sure exactly. It's something about like a clothes drive or like clothes upcycling. I'm not sure exactly, but it's some sort of thrift store type thing. This event they're hosting, but I don't remember when it is.
Okay.
Top of my head.
Okay. Could you just like look into it and then maybe email me, because these dates come up sooner than expected, and you know, if you don't feel like you would have something, then we would need to come up with another topic and somebody else to write it. So maybe in the next couple of weeks you can let me know.
Yeah,
okay, great, thanks. Maggie isn't here, but I'll follow up with her about June. Jeff and Eric, we had talked about something about rooftop solar or SoulSmart in July. I'm not sure with the letter that we got back from SoulSmart, do we have a new projected date for possibly getting the SoulSmart silver?
Not at this time. It depends on whether they approve a revised version of the letter.
Okay. But regardless, I think you said summer would be a good time to do something about rooftop solar, right? Eric and Jeff?
I still like that schedule, Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm
yeah,
going to.
Yeah, that still makes sense.
I'm going to take off the question mark here. I'll take off SoulSmart, and the two of you should plan, you know, to work on it. You have plenty of time. And I think that's maybe as far as we need to go. But next month, I'll want to talk about the later months. And then real quickly for February, well, this week's, hang on a second, I want to just, as Lisa mentioned, I actually thought that that the thing about the permeable pavers was pretty cool. And then Sarah pointed out to me that I missed the fact that this was written up already in the November newsletter very nicely. So I decided to go for a different angle, and I don't think it's gone out yet, but I'll just share it real quickly for you guys to take a quick look. I decided to take a different angle, not just on the permeable pavers, but introducing the term green infrastructure to our residents and trying to educate them about it. And I actually, you know, I sort of loosely know what it means, but I was kind of happy to find this definition from EPA that says it's any system that filters and absorbs stormwater where it falls, which I thought was a very easily graspable way of understanding what that means. So I do think it's exciting that, you know, it looks like we're headed towards 100% of the alleys. Sarah, you can tweak this because I wasn't really sure if it was approved or not approved or the timing wise. So I just put in my understanding about it being open for public comment and up for vote in April, in case anybody hopefully wants to comment favorably on it. And then I do need a couple ideas for the rest of this month. Let me just switch back again to the calendar. Listening to the discussion, I actually think maybe we could do something next week, Sarah, do you think, on One Earth Film Festival? Did you say that the village is sponsoring one of the films?
Yes, so we're sponsoring the plastic bag store film, and we can definitely do something on that. And then I know Trustee Gillis had also sent something about the MWRD information about like the cup of salt for your, just to minimize the amount of road salt that's going into the waterways.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, because we use more than we need on our sidewalks.
Okay, I actually like that one. I had these other things and I was thinking about that smoke detector thing, but I think those would be two good ones for this month. The minimizing road salt one is probably good for next week if we don't think it's too late to do the film festival. the last week.
I think the film festival should be the last week because it's in March and people, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Sarah, you and I then can, these will be our topics, but this, the road for both of them, I need more information. Maybe we can do this like the way we did last time, where if you've got some information, I can package it for you.
We actually have something ready for the rock salt.
Oh, good. That's great because I'm super busy this week. So so you're set then for your topic on that for next week. And then if you send me some, or I can look up about the film festival. Great.
Do we know where, well, first of all, is the film festival in person this year? Does anybody know that? I was just wondering where this film was going to be. Is it going to actually be in the village or any ideas?
Previously, we've screened the piece at a village board meeting. As far as the like the film festival's actual screenings, I'm not entirely sure where those are.
I can look that up if we don't know.
The event that Sarah was talking about, we had those VIP tickets for. That's in person. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that the events this year are in person. I know they're all going to, per Cook County, going to require vaccination status and all that.
Okay. So if anybody else has any things, suggestions for March, I keep having this ambition of getting like a month ahead. So I'm not scrambling every single week, but we have the first week of March covered. I know Lisa had something last year about when planting Think Native and World Water Day. And also, I think because that this the school D90 asked us to help them publicize their bicycle exchange, which will be in April. So that can be sometime in March. Does anybody else have anything in particular that they think they want featured in the next month or so? Okay. That's it for now, except to say that sometime in the next 2 months, hopefully Susan and I will be back with some phased recommendations about the website, but I haven't had time to look at it yet.
Beth?
Yes.
When you're like for the green infrastructure, I know that you talk about neighbors, but all of those bump outs on Chicago Avenue include a rain garden.
Yeah.
So by design, they're meant to, if you look at them, they're meant to kind of take in water and divert water. So that's another part of the green infrastructure in our village.
Yes, and that's actually a great idea that like later, if we need like a filler entry or something that's not time sensitive, later we could feature, the Chicago bump outs, because that's why I wanted to introduce like that term green infrastructure so that we could talk about other things in the future under that umbrella.
I have a date for the plastic bag store. It's going to be virtual. They're all March 11th. One is going to be virtual. It's also going to be in person at the McKinley Park Fieldhouse in Chicago and Main South High School Library in Parkland. Not very close. Doesn't Huey Muller have something to do with this film? Yes.
Sugi does.
What?
Sugi.
Oh, no, but I thought specifically Julie Mahler had underwritten this movie.
She very well may have, because I think she underwrote the plastic bag store exhibit coming to the city of Chicago.
That's what she underwrote.
But that exhibit has closed. I believe it closed at the end of January.
Gotcha.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Beth. Okay, we're going to pop back up to number 6. Discussion regarding community solar and benchmark enrollment. Some good work was done on this between the last meeting and now. Sarah, you want to kick this off again?
Well, so I shared the numbers that MC Squared, the enrollment numbers that MC Squared has provided for us. So,
not a ton, but
I think it's about what we were.
Yeah, it's not unexpected at all. But the good news is is it hard to get that info? Is it, do they provide it proactively, or do we just have to reach out every once in a while?
I just reach out to them. They're very responsive. So.
Should we have some? We should probably have some regular clips to have this from them. It doesn't need to be that frequent, quarterly or.
I don't know. I actually thought it seemed pretty good, you know, considering that I guess there was a mailer and there was an e-newsletter, but I didn't know what to expect, right? So I think it's great that we had people. And that goes to the point, though, of setting up some kind of a goal or a benchmark for ourselves. So maybe MC Squared could help with that and say, like, for a municipality of your size, what has the sign-up been over, you know, first month, 6 months, a year, so that we would have some kind of, you know, idea. It's like 75 in the first month, pretty similar to what happens with other municipalities, or what?
Yeah, that'd be a great question to ask. I agree with that, because we don't really have any context. Like, and since they are doing this program with 8 or 9 local municipalities, they should have, I would think they'd be able to share some kind of metrics.
I thought the 75 was awesome, but I was sort of curious why only 17 actually signed up. So I was, you know, I just wondered if anybody
but
had
that, any... that means 17 were taken off the wait list?
No, it means that 75 signed up, 63 were found
eligible.
What was your word?
Oh, of the 75.
Eligible.
Yeah.
Eligible. And then of those 63, only 17 signed up, which I did not think was stellar.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's a good point. What?
I have feedback from one person who asked me a question, and I don't know how to answer this question. So I have my little card here, and it says, this community solar subscription program will provide the subscriber with a guaranteed 20% savings on their ComEd bills after paying MC Squared Energy Services for their monthly subscription fee. I don't remember ever hearing anything about a monthly subscription fee, so I just wondered.
There's not. This has come up before. Beth and I have talked about this. It's just not worded well. So there are no additional fees from MC Squared. And this is something we should add to the FAQ. Although it says it all over the place, but then that wording kind of undoes all that.
Yeah, I was really curious, because when I saw that, I was like, I never heard about any subscription fee. So I feel like we need to kind of proactively get that message out, you know, maybe through some more social media, because, you know, the person who I talked to is a highly motivated environmental person who was kind of like, you know, what, you know, so they felt like there were hidden fees there, because, I just didn't know what to say.
So, Susan, I mean, I agree. It's confusing. And I had those same questions, right? Like, remember when I first read your thing, I said, wait, is this like for sure? And I'm looking for, I had inserted some language in the write-up to clarify this, because here's how I finally came to understand it. Is there is a program subscription fee in the sense that MC Squared can't do this for free. They have to get something out of this, but it's not an out-of-pocket cost to the consumer. Because what actually happens is that the supply portion, you get a credit for the supply portion on your ComEd bill, right? And then MC Squared, you get a separate bill from MC Squared. So people, this is a whole thing, if I didn't want people to be surprised or annoyed or whatever, right? You are going to get a second bill from MC Squared. It's just that that bill is going to be for 80% of what your electric supply cost would have been. So as the consumer, you end up saving 20%, but MC Squared, they do get a program subscription fee in the form of 80% of your original electric supply bill. Because if you think about it, they can't really do it. Like, you know, if something is a subscription, when you subscribe to something, yes, you have to pay for it. You're just paying them 80% of what you would have paid for your electricity supply. And that's how you end up getting your guaranteed 20% saving.
Yeah. And as Eric said, it was just very, very poorly written.
So there are a lot of really good resources. And what I would like to do between now and the next meeting is build out. All right. So this is right. This is our site. this is our site on vrf.us. It has all kind of the basic information. It has a link to the sign up. What I would like
you're
to
right
do
there
is,
in the middle there, Eric, where it's this is I think I added that or whatever where it says, you know, you'll get these credits on your ComEd bill. MC squared then bills you for 80%. Oh, I don't know. I think I left out the whole net metering credits thing in the newsletter article because that just makes your eyes glaze over. Like, what the heck does that mean, right?
This is a situation where it's actually a really simple program, and for whatever reason, it's actually really hard to explain to people. Which is why actually this was on the agenda for today, was to try to clarify for the commission, because if we don't understand it, then you know, like. What's going to happen?
I'm understanding this. But like, it says that there's a subscription fee, but the subscription is actually just like the regular energy bill.
Is Beth? Did you hear the question from Charlotte?
I like summarize what Beth says, but I don't know if I summarized that right.
Can you say it again?
Were you saying that basically they say that there's a subscription fee, but the subscription fee is really just like the energy bill?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, Eric, can you stop your screen share for a second? And I want to put up the paragraph that I put in the e-newsletter thing. Okay. So I tried to make it a little simpler, as simple as I could, as how I understood it, right? So community solar project supported by multiple subscribers. Each subscriber receives credits for their share of the electricity produced by the community solar project. These credits are applied to the electric bill. MC squared then bills the subscriber for 80% of the credit as the community solar subscription fee, which results in a 20% savings over ComEd standard rates for electricity supply. That was the best that I could do. That's how I understand it. Does that make sense to anybody?
It's like a terminology problem.
Yeah.
But does, you know, we have to be able to explain it to other people. So I think my first question is, does this make sense to people? And I guess, Eric, is it accurate? I hope it's accurate because it's what we published. But
it is accurate.
Yeah, I believe both are true.
I think one of the things that helps is if you go to the reservation list page, there's a bunch of FAQs on the side there, and then you can go through and actually see, like, how does this look in on a ComEd bill? Like,
actually, Beth, if you give me control back.
Yeah. It's just that, like, nobody wants to take the time to do that, right? Like, another thing that I thought might help people is if we could just take one of those hypothetical bills and maybe turn it into actual numbers, right? Instead of this abstract, like 20% is that, we could just sort of say, look, if your electricity bill is usually like $150 a month, typically, you know, whatever, $80 of that is the electricity supply portion, and you're going to end up saving $9 on your bill. And here's how, because you're going to get a credit for $80, then MC squared is going to, well, actually, I don't know if we make the math easier, right? Say you're going to get credit for $100. MC squared is going to bill you $80 for their subscription fee, which means you save 20%. And Susan, I think it's important for people to understand that they are going to get two bills. They're going to get a ComEd bill with a credit, so it's going to be less than usual, but they are going to get a bill from MC squared. Because this is why I said it's important so that people don't sign up and feel like, wait, some kind of weird bait and switch is going on here. Now I'm getting two bills. I'm actually getting charged more. You know, we don't want people to feel like they somehow got hooked into something, because they're going to get two bills. And most people are not going to necessarily notice or remember that they saved X amount on their ComEd bill. They're just like, wait, now I'm getting two bills, right?
So I think maybe a good, like, differentiator from a language standpoint is that this is an energy subscription, right? Like, it is a subscription to the community solar project. Right. So that when it talks about subscription fees, that is like, that's your electricity. That is the subscription, you know, that is the, that is your energy subscription from the particular project that we're drawing from.
Eric, MC Squared is just the broker. What's the underlying energy company underneath this?
It is MC. Well, MC Squared. So are you talking about like what producer?
I thought it was like Elevate Energy or Clear or something.
So we don't know. So let me, I can show you where it draws from. So where is it? I think maybe it's in the FAQs. Where are the projects located? So these, it's Soltage. And these are the projects that this is drawing from. And this shows you in what counties they're located and some details as well.
So Soltage is the underlying company?
Well, they're the developer of these, okay, of these solar farms.
Okay. I have a question for the commission. Did everybody on the commission sign up for community solar?
I tried to. I haven't gotten anything from them yet that I can tell, and Sarah's helping me with that.
Okay. Jeff?
I'm
I can't. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, I was just gonna say I have the real time pricing, and I haven't switched off of that yet, but I was going to, just haven't. But the real time pricing is as good of a deal as it was.
Yeah.
So I have rooftop solar, so therefore I have real time pricing, and real time pricing isn't eligible for this, so I would have to switch to regular pricing, and that actually probably wouldn't pay for me. Yeah. It would from a potentially from a green standpoint,
yeah,
but not economically.
Yeah. Well, you know, Beth and I have been talking about the ComEd's, you know, their underlying sources, and I didn't look at it really recently, but, you know, if you include nuclear, which does not, you know, you can say what you will about nuclear, but it does not emit greenhouse gases. It's like 50% non, you know, non-emitting sources, even if you're using ComEd right now. For the first time, solar is like 1%, wind is like 3%, hydro, and with the nuclear. So that's good news too, that even people on the conventional ones, it's slowly becoming cleaner. And I think there are built-in standards with the FEJA that has to increase over time, although I don't understand exactly what they are.
Yeah, so we're just going to have a lot of work to do, because I guess I didn't realize that 17 was the only the number that actually enrolled. I read too quickly, and I thought it was 75. And there are going to be all kinds of obstacles, because, like, I couldn't sign up until I got, like, I had to wait for my electric bill because, you know, I needed my whatever metering account number or something, not something that I just, like, had around, right? So people have to be determined.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's just a timing issue and not that, you know, the remainder just decided, forget about it. So that's what I'm hoping. And so maybe if we could look at these, Sarah, if we could look at these like every meeting, that would be helpful, you know, at least at the beginning, just to see how is it progressing. And then we can also see when there aren't any more new subscriptions, like we need to do a little bit more marketing. So.
Well, or Sarah, is there any way that the village has access to this, you know, the 63 minus 17 who didn't enroll, to do further outreach, offer to answer questions and try to get more of them converted? Or is that all up to MC Squared?
You know, I think that might be up to MC Squared to a certain extent. we can certainly continue communicating things. And people do call Village Hall, and I talk to them about it. So
yeah, it'll take time.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, can call MC Squared directly if they have questions. And they're very responsive.
So here's something I would recommend for all of us. And then we need to work on incorporating some of this into our website. Is if you have not done this already, if you go to the MC Squared page, the one that it sends you to via the postcard, via our website, there is a ton of content on here, including videos. So, like, you know, I was sitting with one of my kids kind of going over some of this a few weeks ago. And, you know, she was asking me questions, and I'm like, well, let's get the educational videos. Here they are. And this is like, they're very professionally done. You know, like, what is community solar? Like, why should I care? There's very practical ones, like, how do I sign up? So, like, these are, you know, there's quality content on here that we ourselves should kind of go look at. And then the ones that we think are good, we should incorporate, I think, into our website, which we're allowed to do. And these are just YouTube videos, so we can, I would assume, embed them into our into our website. There are sample bills. You've probably seen me kind of popping back and forth between these to show you exactly what it's going to look like. So, you know, it's not from, like, MC Squared cannot be blamed for not, like, you know, providing all the information in here. I think we just need to think of better ways to draw people to this. This FAQ we've talked about before, there's just a ton of info in this FAQ. Like, when Susan asked, like, where are the projects or who is the producer, you know, that was right here.
Waiting to, like, for the energy bill to come, when I got my mom to sign up, she found, like, a ComEd website that, like, if you, like, can sign into it, like, you could find all the, like, information. But we could also spread the word about that, that you don't have to wait for your energy bill to come.
Yes, because that would be awesome. Like, on that question, Beth, you said, like, you needed your whatever meter ID. Like, it'd be very cool if we had, like, a, you know, little here's how to get to that, right? So, like, Charlotte, it's like we could have a log into your ComEd account. Go to this, you know, this link, and there's on the top right, there's your meter ID. We just got, you know, this is new. This is a new program. We just launched it, but we got to now build out our information campaign, which is what we've been talking about the whole time.
Well, the other thing that I was going to do is I was just going to reach out to like 20 friends. I was going to include the little blurb from the newsletter, because amazingly, not everybody reads that, and then just encourage them. If they had any questions, is someone practicing piano somewhere?
If you got music going on in your background, please mute yourself.
I was going to say, yeah, somebody's practicing sailing.
Sorry.
And then just say, if you have any questions, reach out. Because, I think if they know somebody who's sort of personally getting behind it, then, you know, that could have some sway too. So I figure try everything.
Any other comments? We got work to do on this, but like we've got the foundation set, so I'm pretty psyched about that. All right, great. So Susan, next on this was update on EV numbers, but you kind of covered that already. Anything more to add to that?
No, just take a look.
And, yeah, super cool
and
info.
And the Oak Park numbers are there too, so take a look at that too. But the reason I brought this up last time was because, you know, our charging station we just started advertising it very recently. So I thought we should have sort of a baseline, and at the very least we can see, you know, is it increasing at an increasing rate or decreasing rate, and whatever. It's easy to check in. So I can just go in and check that quarterly, and I guess I'll only report it if something interesting happens.
Okay, thank you for taking that on. That's good stuff. Okay, we're in the other business, number 9 on our agenda. Is there anything else going on? Anybody wants to bring up anything that didn't make the agenda? Okay.
Oh, wait, I did have one.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Thought. I was telling my friend about trying to spread the news for community solar, and he had an idea of telling the Wednesday.
I think it'd be a great idea. Yeah.
Has there been any article in the Wednesday Journal about community solar? We don't know.
I don't think specifically. I haven't seen one.
Not sure. I'll email them, and if they say we've already had an article, then.
They are bad.
And Charlotte, maybe you could pass on the little newsletter blurbs as information.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Oh, sorry, that you could include the blurb that was in the monthly newsletter this last Friday.
That's the little blurb.
Okay.
Okay, next meeting is scheduled for...
By the way,
It was in the paper?
It was in the journal?
Yes, River Forest adds solar option for residents. It was in the Wednesday Journal on, they were just reporting on the program getting passed. Mm. So maybe it could be a follow-up article,
I remember that. Yeah, it was before it was launched.
Correct, it was September 19th, 2021, with an update made on September 20th, 2021. So. Charlotte, if you're talking about it, you might want to just mention that it's an update.
Okay,
it's actually there. And Charlotte, I just wanted to say that I brought up with Mr. Cadillac the idea of you visiting the environmental club is at Roosevelt to get people to sign up next year for the high school one. And he said that they have very few eighth graders, but that he would be happy to set it up so you could present to each of the classes if that was something you're interested in doing.
Like
the eighth grade science classes.
Okay, yeah, I would love to do that for sure. Thank you.
Excellent. Next meeting is scheduled for March 8th. So we will kind of continue in this hybrid mode. If anybody, we'll see what the governor does about the state and what Cook County does. But based on today, We'll do this hybrid again. So if you want to come in here to Village Hall, by all means, please do. If you'd rather do it from the comfort of your own home, please have at it. So we'll communicate before that if there's any changes to that. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. A second. Can I second? All right, I'm seconding it. All right, we are
all in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Bye, guys.
Okay. You want to post? All right, perfect. All right, thanks, everybody. Appreciate your time as always.